You ever seen people like that? I'm just getting close to God. Now you can't even talk to them. Because they're so holy now because they're getting close to God that now you can't even talk to them. You can't even hold a conversation with them because now they think they're better than you or that they're more holy than you, that they're more serious, they're more devoted, they're more committed. And so that's that boastful, puffed up spirit. The more God you got in you, the easier it ought to be for you to get along. Because you got peace. You got the fruit of the Spirit. See, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, then the fruit of the Spirit is being generated all the time in you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is constantly renewing you in the fruit. That love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that goodness. That's bad. Oh, that's good. That ain't going to make you mean. Not going to make you nasty. Not going to make you want to be isolated. The more God you got in, the more people you want to come in contact with. The less people you hide from when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Because another thing to go out your life is fear. Then you stop just being scared of stuff. Because the Holy Spirit is ordering your steps. So you learn how to trust it. You learn how to trust those leadings. And you know that you're going to be okay because, hey, the Holy Ghost told me to do this. When you start hearing his voice and he's teaching you things that he's hearing, he's revealing the Father's heart to you and what God desires for you to do, I'm going to tell you the greater and greater blessing that you're going to be.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in my heart.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
St. Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. Rita, would you read those verses?
And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. Verse 4. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Verse 5. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. And have been given to the poor. and they murmured against her. Verse 6. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Verse 7. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. Verse 8. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verse 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her.
Let the church say amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, do what you can. Encourage your neighbor sitting next to you and say, neighbor, do what you can. And if I were back in my old church, I'd say it like this. Do what you can do. Do what you can do. This word, my brothers and sisters, gives us some insight to understanding how ministry is not only a collective reality, but it is also an individual reality. How the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us opportunities to minister and to utilize the gifts, the blessings, the resources that he's made available to us to be able to be utilized in our ministries. One of the things that I think is so important to understand in this day and time is that as we are in our last days, that the Spirit of the Lord has already been promised. He has already arrived. He is already present. And he is no respecter of persons. He is able to use whomsoever he chooses. And it is important to recognize that ministry work is a part of the responsibility of every believer. The word ministry somehow to many connotes a corporate ministry whereby they participate in such a ministry. And that is true partly. But the other part of that is that there is a personal ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to each and every one of us. And it is as varied as each personality is. One of the things that keep many of us from meaningful ministry is the fact that they don't fit in to corporate structured ministry. And so as a result of that, many of them sit on their gifts, their talents, and their callings from week to week and throughout the week because they are not a part of a corporate ministry. But I want somebody to know today that God in these last days is calling you to become active in the personal ministry he is calling you to and has purposed you for. Your ministry may not be to be in the pulpit, to be in the choir stand, to be in the deacon's ministry or the deaconess's ministry. Your ministry may not be to be an usher or a greeter. Your ministry may not be a part of one of the structured ministries of the church, but it does not mean you don't have a personal ministry. As a matter of fact, the greatest ministry that all of us are called to is a ministry of witnessing.
You think about how most folk got in the church. They didn't get in the church because I called them. Because here's a reality that most of the seasoned saints know, that shepherds don't produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep. Shepherds produce shepherds. So what you need to know is everybody who has come to most churches, either the people have seen the church because it was planted on a corner or on a street where they could see, and curiosity called them in, so they believed, but it was the Spirit of the living God calling them to that ministry, or they were invited or witnessed to or ministered to through the week by somebody who belonged to the Lord and was a member of that local fellowship. In other words, if folk don't come to the church 9 out of 10 times, it's because you don't invite them. You know, many times you get on the job and you talk about everything. You talk about how the Cavaliers, you know, lost it to the Warriors, and how they just stumped them 4 games and got them out and everything. And King James didn't act kingly, and he didn't win in this. And in spite of his team losing, and in spite of Brother Curry, there are some who arguably say that King James, Lil K, is arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, basketball player that ever lived. Now, there are some in their season who were the greatest in their season, but they have not accomplished what he's accomplished. And so, you know, here again, he had a personal best while his team lost. Are y'all hearing me here today? So what you've got to understand is that you have a ministry in the midst of the team's ministry that God is expecting you to do wherever he has placed you. There are some people you can reach. God has positioned you, put you in a unique position to minister to some folk that I can't reach from here, that I can't reach from television, that I can't reach from internet, because they may not be watching those things. They may not be listening to the radio, but they will hear you. And God can use you. And you might be scared to talk in front of people, but you'll talk your head off in front of one person. Yeah. So what am I saying to you? You be sensitive to the Spirit of the living God. Find out where God is calling you to use your ministry. Look at how you flow, where you flow, and recognize that that could very well be a ministry God is using you to not only lift Jesus up, but to bring folk who are lost into the kingdom. Now look at the text, because I want you to see. Mark gives us an interesting illustration here, because there are some things, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John deals with two women who anointed Jesus. One anointed his head, and the other anointed his feet on different occasion. In this particular reference, it's dealing with the woman who anointed his head. Now, Mark tells us that they were at Simon the leper's house. And as was the custom, they reclined back when they ate dinner. And as usual, they were served, and those who were considered VIPs or special guests, when they came into the house, their feet were washed. They were embraced with a kiss on either cheek, and their heads were anointed. That was the customary reception of guests, which Luke brings out in the 7th chapter. But Mark doesn't deal with all of this. He talks about, again, being in Simon the leper's house and Jesus being reclined and having dinner. And
this woman comes in, who is thought to be Mary. You had several Marys in the Word. And in one occasion, again, they're talking about Mary Magdalene, the woman who had been delivered of demons. And there is another Mary who was a, as some records refer to, as a prostitute or a harlot. And then, of course, you have the Mary of Jesus, and on and on and on. But here in this case, this woman had an alabaster box, which was a box that was made out of marble-like material. And some say it was a box, and others say it was a jar. But it was a precious, precious container. And once the spikenard, or actually called nard, and they use the word spikenard because this plant was grown in the Eastern culture, far Eastern, like India. And it was a long, tall spike plant. It was very, very, very thin, but the aroma was very fragrant. And so it was considered a very precious and expensive ointment or oil that was placed in the alabaster box, because the thickness of the alabaster box was able to conceal the scent of the nard or spikenard. Then at the top of the jar or the box, it would be sealed with wax to make sure that the fragrance did not escape. And the only problem with that was, when you broke the seal, you had to use all of it. Now, this picture actually denotes, because the reference of this spikenard perfume, not perfume, was very expensive, over 300 pennies worth. That was equivalent to more than 300 days of pay, since during that time, a penny was a day's wages or a day's labor. And usually for special occasions only, or for those who were women of the evening, only for the most elitist guest would the spikenard box or jar be broken and utilized on the most highest customers, because it was a scent or fragrance that went out and was so inviting that many folk followed their nose. And they knew that scent was a special and unique scent. And even when they couldn't see, they could smell. And that's how many of those who were of the upper echelon, they were of the escort caliber. They weren't the loose women walking on the street. They were of the higher level. And so what it is suggesting, that she was a former prostitute who used her wares to beguile men. But having been saved by Jesus, the suggestion is that she put her tools away, never to use them again. And in this opportunity to pull out her alabaster box and anoint Jesus, she thought that she would use her best for someone who had taken her at her most broken state and blessed her. She felt that the best that she could give to Jesus was her spikenard in an alabaster box.
And so when she broke that seal and poured it over the head of Jesus and let it ran down his head and down his clothes, etc., she could have stopped, but she knew she wanted him to have not only her best, but her all. And so she poured it all out on Jesus until there was nothing left in the box. And look at the haters sitting around the table. His own men became, the record said, indignant. Indignation rose up in them, and they're wondering, why is this waste done? Why? Well, let me say something to you, my brothers and sisters. This woman knew that this ointment belonged to her. And because it belonged to her, she didn't have to get permission from nobody to use it the way she wanted to use it. And because the profession of old was no longer the profession of new, she then decided from her heart that the best thing she had to give, Jesus was worthy of it. And listen at this. She didn't ask for recommendations. She didn't ask anybody how they felt about it. When she recognized the opportunity, she broke that seal and began ministering to Jesus. And I want you to see some things and understand some things about this. First of all, she came into her ministry when she allowed the Spirit of the Living God to use her and what she had for the glory of God. Now, listen at this. Nobody knew, including her, that what she was doing that for had great significance. She just felt the unction in her spirit to do it, and to do it now. See, sometimes opportunity happens and you got to hear God and obey God now. You don't have time to sit there and reason and wonder. You don't have to sit down and consult with other folk and ask them, should I or could I, or you think it's all right if I. When the Spirit of the Lord tells you to do something, sometimes you need to just get up and move at God's command. And this woman, being filled with that unction in her own spirit, she did what she knew in her heart was right to do. Let me share what happened. First of all, as those disciples and others who were around the table became indignant that she would waste this precious ointment on Jesus, and they became upset, began to grumble and mumble like folk do when they talk under their breath and don't want folk to know that they're talking about them. Can I tell you, it didn't mean a hill of beans to that woman. She was focused on Jesus. And I got news for you. You'll miss the Lord many times when you're focused on what everybody else is saying rather than focus on the Lord. If you stay focused on the Lord, you will do what the Lord wants you to do. Listen again. I want to tell you what she did not do. She didn't go around declaring, this is my ministry. She didn't go around bragging nobody about, this is my ministry. This is my box of precious oil, and I'm going to use this in my ministry. She didn't go around describing what she was going to do when she broke out the box. She didn't tell anybody, didn't say, didn't announce to anybody. But what she did was did what she desired to do for Jesus. So get this now. She didn't declare her ministry. She didn't describe her ministry. She just did her ministry. Let me say it again. She didn't declare her ministry. She didn't have to put a title on her ministry. See, the problem I have with many of us is we can't minister without a title. I'm who I am, wherever I am, in whatever situation I am. Sometimes folk be amazed that I go to places and, you know, I don't tell folk I'm Pastor so-and-so, I'm Dr. so-and-so, I'm all of this. I don't even tell them anything sometimes. They'll tell me, you're a minister, huh? In places I've never been before. And I say, yes, I am. And then when I come on up to the front, well, I don't need to come up to the front. I don't need that recognition. I sit before folk every Sunday morning. Sometimes I just want to be in the crowd. I just want to hear what's being said. I don't always want to be up front. I need to be ministered to sometime. And so sometimes I don't want to be up there, but I'll walk in place. I'm Dr. John E. Montgomery II, pastor of the Great Assembly Baptist Church. For them to bring me up to no front or all of that kind of stuff, I turn down more than I accept. I don't need no title, I tell you what. But when you're talking about Jesus, let me in the conversation. I've got something to say. She didn't describe her ministry. Listen, my ministry is with this spikenard oil, and it is to minister to Jesus. And that's what I'm going to do with this, in case y'all are wondering what I'm going to do with this expense. Because I got news for you. You know when something is expensive, it comes in expensive wrappings. Cheap watches don't come in expensive packaging. Cheap perfume don't come in expensive packaging. You can look at the package and tell that the content. Yeah, my Rolex didn't come in the same packaging that my Timex. I'm just trying to tell you, you can just look at the box and tell something good is, ooh, we good in the box. And so the box, she didn't have to describe, because they knew the worth because of the box. But all she did what she was to do. Now that was important. That was important because it's a helpful holy hint to us. You do, the label will come. I said, you do, and the label will come. You ain't got to get up and tell nobody you're a singer. Sing. And guess what? Folk gonna know, that's a singer there. What's his name? I don't know, but he can sing. Yeah, they know your ministry. You ain't got to tell folk, they know it. Just do it. Do it. And she did it. Now, I want you to see something else. After she does her ministry, Jesus dealt with the protractors and the naysayers who are indignant because she poured that precious ointment, expensive ointment, on Jesus like he was not worthy. Now, I want you to see something. Jesus makes clear to them, and he's quoting from Deuteronomy 15:11, the poor you're going to have with you always. And there are opportunities every day and in every way that you can do for the poor. You don't have to look very far many times to find poor folk to help. But he knew it really wasn't about poor folk. They had their own agenda, including Judas, who was the treasurer and held on to the money bag. And so his mind automatically calculated, now we could take this precious ointment, sell it for 300 plus, put that money in the money bag. I'm holding the money bag. And we can help a whole lot of people, praise the Lord. But Jesus knew his heart.
That wasn't what he really wanted to do. So I want you to see now, and he deals with them, and then I want you to see Jesus. He defends one, her motive and her ministry.